When the Past Caught Up with Tanisan Sr. While Tanisan's life was a game of dare with the universe, her mother's was a tale of two halves. There were the early, disreputable years on the fringes of the Gifu underworld, and then there was her later life when she moved to Tokyo for reasons of necessity, married Tanisan's father, and lived a life of quiet respectability in a suburb of Ikebukuro. Needless to say, there was no overlap between these two worlds, or ever would be if Tanisan Sr. had anything to do with it. Her daughter, on the other hand, had different ideas. To celebrate her mother's upcoming 80th birthday, she'd booked the function room of the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, having made some rather unusual arrangements with the management there. All of the tables in the front three rows would be occupied by Senior's current friends, plus a few of her husband's surviving relatives and members of her Tai Chi club. Further back, there would be what Tanisan referred to as the surprise guests, those whom she had secretly invited with the express intention of embarrassing her mother on the big day. That is to say, the surviving members of her crooked family, geriatric admirers from her showgirl days at the long-defunct Wawa Club, pimps, gangsters, and of course, Mrs. Tamura, the elderly widow with whom her mother had once run a highly successful money-laundering operation. For the first part of the celebration, the unseemly rabble from Gifu would be partitioned off from the posh Tokyo guests by a velvet curtain. But then at some point during the proceedings, yet to be decided by Tanisan, she would press a button, the curtains would slide open, and the two sides of Senior's life would come crashing together for the first time, allowing all sorts of strange and wonderful things to occur. Having said all that, it was not Tanisan's usual way of going about things to make detailed plans in advance, and in the course of so doing, something occurred that caused her to remember why she preferred to improvise whenever possible. Just 3 days before the big event, Tanisan Sr., the very person around whom all of these complex arrangements hinged, vanished from the face of the earth. What Tanisan didn't know was that her mother had been out shopping that morning and had spotted someone in the crowds that she'd hoped never to see again. In the normal course of events, she wouldn't have done. But, irony of ironies, the individual in question just happened to be one of those special surprise guests that Tanisan had invited along to her 80th. He'd arrived a day or two early to see his lawyer and to take care of some business in town, and had brought with him his current wife and his grandson. Indeed, Boss Kodama of the infamous Kodama Gang was no longer the ruthless, gimlet-eyed villain that Tanisan Sr. had long thought dead, but an elderly man in a wheelchair. He'd walked away from the gangster world after watching the Muppet Christmas Carol with his granddaughter back in 1999, yet Sr. automatically assumed that he'd tracked her down with a view to exacting some form of revenge. You see, back in the old days, he had foolishly decided to put a sizeable proportion of his own personal income through the money laundry service that young Sr. had run with her friend and business partner, Mrs. Tamura. However, all he ever got back for his trouble were 40 pairs of pants, socks and vests. When Tanisan got no answer from her mother's mobile, she went straight round to her house and let herself in with her spare key. Almost immediately, she began to construe signs of a hasty exit. Items of clothing lay scattered about, drawers were open, and the bathroom was bereft of soaps, wipes, earwax picks, luxury toilet tissue, gel-filled kneecap warmers, heart tablets, laxatives and pile cream. In short, it was serious, so she decided to phone one of Senior's friends from her Tai Chi club to find out if she knew anything. But before she could make that call, another came in on an unknown number. "Moshi moshi," came a crackly voice against a background of wind and traffic noise. "Okasan," said Tanisan, "where are you?" "Moshi moshi," came a mother's voice again. "Say something, for heaven's sake." At this point, it sounded as though Senior turned away from the phone to talk to someone else. A man, a taxi driver by the sound of it. They seemed to be arguing about the route that he'd chosen to take. The next part was garbled, so Tanisan couldn't actually hear what was being said, but then it sounded as if a mother was slapping him from the back seat. "Okasan, I can hear you," she said, stepping outside the front door in the hope of improving the reception. "Tell me where you are." That's the last thing we need to worry about right now, came her mother's reply. I'm trying to tell you where I am. Take down this address. She then reeled off the address for some place on the island of Shikoku. At the end of it, she said, bring my purple cardigan, and put the phone down. Tanizan dashed back inside and jotted down the address before she forgot it. The place her mother was heading for was a small town on the east coast of the island, and the quickest way there was to fly to Tokushima, take a train, and then a taxi. All in all, it was a 6-hour trek, but she didn't see that she had any other option. Not if she wanted to get her mother back in time for the big event. It was just so typical of Senior to mess up all of her nice arrangements. All the same, she gathered together a few things, including, of course, the all-important Cardi, and headed off to Haneda Airport. The journey there was as long and tedious as she had predicted, if not more so, and when at last she arrived at the little local train station, she hailed a minicab. Unfortunately, the slip of paper on which she'd scribbled down the address had fallen to the bottom of her bag, so it took her a while to find it. But the taxi driver set off anyway, talking incessantly while she rummaged through her belongings. Oh, yes, he said, as they turned onto the coast road that took them past the long stretch of sandy beach where the loggerhead turtles laid their eggs. Oh, I left the city a year ago, never looked back since. Best job I ever had, this. Well, what's not to like? The open road, no boss breathing down your neck day and night, and I get to enjoy all this lovely scenery. Best thing of all, though, are the customers. You won't believe the sheer variety of folks I meet in this line of work, not just from the mainland, but from all across the world. I just love talking to new people, I do. I really love it. I love finding out where they're from and what they do, and they always seem to appreciate the interest. Well, most of them do. You do come across the occasional awkward customer. Yesterday, for example, there was this one old woman. Tanizan, who wasn't listening, finally managed to lay her hands on the crumpled bit of paper that she'd been looking for, so she leant over the front seat to show it to him. Yes, she announced. Here it is. 148 Hiwasaura. The driver, recognising the address, went straight from being the ultimate people person to one of the nastier Japanese cousins of Ebenezer Scrooge. It was as though someone had flipped a switch. Oh, he said, you're the daughter, are you? And that was all he did say. After that, he wouldn't even take her to the door, but made her get out at the end of the street, refusing to go any closer, like one of those Transylvanian coachmen that are forever dumping their passengers in the middle of nowhere as soon as the sun goes down. Fortunately, she didn't have any of the heavy trunks or hat boxes that were the must-have accessories of a Victorian lady travelling through Eastern Europe in the late 19th century. Still, the short walk to Senior's hideout was not entirely trouble-free. There was a funny-looking little man coming down the street who seemed determined to intercept her before she reached the door. Skinny, bow-legged, and in his 70s, he was dressed in the kit of his favourite baseball team, the Tokushima Tits, and his head wobbled about on his shoulders like one of those bobble-headed Kokeshi dolls. Oh, no, here comes the local village idiot, Tanizan muttered to herself. Just my luck. You're not going in there, are you? Said the toothless sports fan in a voice that was way too loud for the occasion. He was pointing to the run-down black-and-white house with the overgrown yard and wooden shutters. There's a foreigner just moved in there. Mrs. Chikafuji went over to say hello and got a face full of bug spray. Oh, good. I'm in the right place, then, said Tanizan. Thanks for the tip. She walked over and knocked on the heavy wooden door. Okaa-san, she called out. It's me. I've got your cardigan. Looking back, she saw that the little man was still watching from the street, so she gave a tut. There then came the sound of various locks being undone, and eventually the door opened a crack. Very cautiously, Tanizan Senior poked her head out. She was wearing a dark brown wig and sunglasses, and was armed with a can of Dr. Ichibangase's Superpower Goki-chan Bye-Bye Spray. I thought it was one of the locals again, she said when she saw Tanizan eyeing the can of cockroach killer. Come in. Tanizan took off her shoes and followed her mother down the hallway into the kitchen. It was one of those old-style Japanese houses, very dark and stuffy inside. There were several pedestal fans scattered about, doing their best to dissipate the sepulchral atmosphere. No one had occupied the premises for years. Senior had kept it as a standby in case of emergencies. "What's this all about, Akar-san? What are you doing here?" were Tani-san's first words as she set her bag down on the table. The story that her mother told her, though corresponding in certain details, was not the same as the one that Tani-san had heard from Senior's friend, Mrs. Tamura, or the one that I told you. In fact, it wasn't long before Tani-san began to recognise the plot of The Untouchables, with Senior cast in the role of the hapless accountant, who, unable to remain silent any longer, had attempted to bring down a ruthless gangster by exposing his tax affairs. "Well, you can't stay here forever," said Tani-san, once she'd listened to the whole fairy tale. "What are you going to do?" "I've decided to move to Hawaii," said her mother. "Apparently there are some lovely little waterfront properties in Pearl Harbour. Charming name, don't you think? It sounds like that place in Mie Prefecture where they have the Lady Pearl Divers." "So let me get this straight," said Tani-san. "Of all the beauty spots you could have chosen, including any number of stunning locations on the 8 major islands that make up the Hawaiian archipelago, Pearl Harbour struck you as the most appropriate?" "Yes," shrugged her mother. "Why not?" "Never mind," said Tani-san. "What are you going to live on when you get there?" "Ah," said Senior, "that's where you come in. You see, knowing that this day might come, I had the foresight to put aside a little nest egg, which has been accumulating interest in a bank in Tokushima for the last 50 years. And what I need now is for you to get it for me." Tani-san could have asked her mother why she couldn't get it herself, but she already knew why. She was afraid that, in spite of all the precautions, her enemies had somehow managed to track her to the island. And while the one thing she most definitely did not want to do was to run into any of her old gangster friends while out and about, she was quite happy for Tani-san too, since, unlike Senior, she had full mobility below the knees. As for Tani-san, she knew that this whole unnecessary business was only in her mother's head, so she was quite happy to play along with it for the time being. It would be fun, she thought, to see where it led. Besides, if she told her mother the real reason why she'd spotted Boss Kodama, it would spoil the birthday surprise. At least this way, it would give her some time to think of a way of getting Senior back to Tokyo for the big event. Of course, for Tani-san to be able to withdraw the cash from her mother's account, she would have to have the correct identification. It would also be quite helpful if she actually looked like her. So the two of them went into Senior's bedroom, and she tried on a few of her mother's outfits. "Hmm," she said as she surveyed herself in the long mirror, completely decked out in one of her mother's skirt and cardigan ensembles, with her hair piled up on top of her head like an enormous onion. "It's not quite there yet, is it? Something's missing." "I agree," said Senior, who had stood behind her surveying Tani-san's reflection. "It's difficult to put a finger on it," she said, "but I think what's lacking is a certain grace and dignity. Try to conduct yourself with a bit more style, rather than clumping about the place like a baby elephant." "Well, you're entitled to your opinion, of course," said Tani-san, "but I don't think it's that. What it is," she said, "is that there are not enough lines on the face. My skin is silky smooth, you see, and that's where we're going to get caught out if we're not careful. I think what's needed are a lot more wrinkles around the eyes and mouth. And I shall also have to work on the old lady shuffle, otherwise no one's going to believe that it's you." "If you say so," said her mother, "but don't forget to put plenty of makeup on those chubby cheeks to give them a bit of shape. And you'll definitely need to do something about that nose. It's like a button mushroom." Once a happy medium had been achieved disguise-wise, Tani-san was ready for the off, so they called for a taxi to take her to the station. Curiously enough, of all the various aspects of this harebrained venture that could have gone tits up, the tricky bit at the bank was not one of them. So as soon as the formalities were complete, Tani-san left with a big bag of cash, and within the hour was safely ensconced on the southbound train on her way back to deliver it to her mother. So for the next 45 minutes or so, she sat in the priority seating area with the legitimate pensioners, making plans to get Senior back to Ikebukuro in time for the big bash the following afternoon. The taxi driver on the return journey from the station was the same little man that had picked her up when she'd first arrived. However, Tani-san was still in Senior disguise, so he naturally assumed that once again he had Beelzebub's slightly more unpleasant mother-in-law sitting in the back of his cab. Consequently, he jumped straight out and refused to get in again, unless A, she promised not to hit him, and B, she made no further comment on his driving or his dress sense. And even after that, he was very reluctant to rejoin her, until in the end, Tanisan managed to win him over by feeding him a wad of banknotes through a crack in the passenger window. Call it Tanitax. How did it go? Asked a furtive senior, opening the door to her daughter double. Not entirely to plan, lied Tanisan, as she handed over the bag of cash and followed her mother inside. When I came out of the bank, a couple of Kadama's goons were waiting for me, she said, really trying to imagine it. And if there was one key message that they were keen to get across, it was that their coffin dodger of a boss knows where we are and wants his money back. It didn't come as any surprise to Tanisan that her mother wasn't listening. Instead, she was sat at the kitchen table with the bag in front of her, checking the contents. Just a minute, she said. This is short. I'm fine, by the way, said Tanisan, as she ruffled her hair and began to remove the old lady disguise. No bumps, bruises, broken bones or bullet holes. Yes, I thought so, said Senior after a hasty recount. It's down by 90,000 yen. Tanitax, said her daughter. What? Well, I'm sorry, said Tanisan, but I had to bribe those two gorillas so that you'd have the opportunity of handing back the money yourself. Apparently it'll go much better for you if you do. You won't be fitted up for a concrete kimono. Her mother frowned and removed her spectacles. Well, I'm not so sure that it would be better, actually, she said. I was thinking about it while you were out. I'm 80 years old tomorrow. Why should I give a barn owl's hoot what some hoodlum threatens me with? Let him bring on his concrete kimonos, or any other type of cement-based formal wear. From this day forth, I'm going to live as I want and where I want. So watch out, Pearl Harbor. Here I come. Unfortunately, this was not the reaction that Tanisan had been hoping for, as was so often the case with her darling mother, so she was forced to think on her feet. But Okasan, just think about it for a moment, she said. If you don't sort this out now, you'll be looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life. Well, I doubt that, said Senior, not with my arthritis. Well, what about your friends at the Tai Chi Club, Tanisan persisted. What are they going to think? They're bound to find out sooner or later. Interestingly enough, this did give her mother pause for thought. Well, she said, as you know, the Fists of Fury Sisterhood are among my closest friends. But when it comes to promoting well-being and harmony through the martial arts, a bigger bunch of hypocrites would be hard to find. To the untrained eye, your average silvery-haired widow may seem as sweet as caramelised fairy droppings, but is in fact the very worst when it comes to spreading rumours, causing mischief, and generally being an out-and-out pain in the backside. You do surprise me, said Tanisan. Oh, yes, said Senior with great conviction. It's frequently the case. So in light of all that, I've decided to change my vote. I think it's best that we do face up to old man Kadama and nip this situation in the bud. So for once they agreed with each other. In principle, at least. Unfortunately, when it came to the specifics, what Tanisan had in mind and what her mother had in mind were two different things. Tanisan's idea, as you know, was to get Senior back to Tokyo in time for her birthday party, and now it looked as though she might actually succeed in doing so. Luckily, the event wasn't due to take place until the following afternoon, which gave them plenty of time to get back to the city. However, Tanisan wanted to make some last-minute changes to the arrangements, which couldn't wait. So before they boarded the plane for Haneda, she went into the ladies and put a call into the Imperial Hotel in Ikebukuro. She had two new instructions for the management there. Firstly, she wanted the curtain that was to have separated the Tokyo guests from the Gifu guests to be moved to the front of the room, right in front of the stage. Secondly, there was to be only one guest visible in front of it when she and her mother walked into the function room through the back entrance. That would be Boss Kadama, who was already staying at the Imperial with his two-person entourage. He would be wheeled onto the stage just before the party began, and the switch for the curtain would be placed on the table in front of him. The idea was that as soon as Senior handed over the bag, he would press it, the curtain would open, and all of the party guests would witness the transaction. Result? Red faces and a lot of awkward questions all round. Come the big day, Tanisan had it all planned out, right down to the last detail. The curtain changes had been made to her satisfaction, the guests had started to arrive, and Boss Kadama knew exactly what was required of him for the big birthday surprise to work. So at just after 2 o'clock, Tani-san picked her mother up from her house and the two of them travelled together on the train to what Senior believed was a private meeting with her old adversary. Her mother was unusually quiet on the journey there, which was never a good sign in Tani-san's experience. Still, on reaching the hotel, they made their way round to the service entrance and went in through the kitchens. At the end of the passageway, there was the door that opened out onto the back of the function room, where all the other party guests were sat about, waiting for them. So just before her mother went through, Tani-san handed over the bag of cash. "Now, just remember, Okaa-san," she said, "he's waiting for you on the other side of this door. So just be nice, say you're sorry, and give him his money back. That's all there is to it." "Yes, yes," said her mother. "Let's get on with it, shall we?" With some impatience, Senior grabbed the bag and reached for the door handle. But then as she was heading through, a slip of paper fell out of the side pocket and landed on the floor at Tani-san's feet. It was so dark in that little corner of the kitchen that she couldn't see what was on it, so she carried it over to the nearest skylight and unfolded it. It was a one-way ticket to Honolulu. Fearing the worst, she turned on her heels and ran straight through the doorway into the curtained-off function room, just in time to see her octogenarian mother creep up behind the nonagenarian gangster, reach into her shoulder bag and take out a rolling pin that she'd brought from home, clearly with the intention of clobbering him over the head with it. However, just before she could strike, her intended victim saw her coming and with a frantic yelp wheeled himself off in the opposite direction. "Ah, ah," he called out to anyone who was listening, "she doesn't get the joke." With very little time to intervene, Tani-san rushed over and pressed the button, at which point the curtain glided back and Tani-san Senior was suddenly confronted by the sight of all those friends and relatives stood about tables, glasses raised in a toast. "Happy birthday, Tani-san," they cheered. Like a rabbit caught in the headlights, she froze in her tracks, the rolling pin raised high above her head as the front wheels of Boss Kodama's chair teetered over the drop at the front of the stage. Her daughter, in the meantime, retreated into the shadows to savour her handiwork, more than a little satisfied with the final reveal. In fact, it couldn't have gone any better if she'd actually planned it that way.